Hello, it's Dr. Jeff with another episode of Talk Healthy Today. This episode, I will be discussing foot problems and foot pain. You know, because so many of us spend every day walking on our sore, tired, irritated feet. I think it's time that we talk about how to get those pains and those health problems with our feet under control. Better Nutrition presents Talk Healthy Today, brought to you by Europharma. Visit them at europharmausa.com.
Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Talk about getting healthy. This is the place. You're listening to Talk Healthy Today with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Your feet are probably the most used and abused parts of your body, and they are likely the most neglected. But when foot problems strike, it's often all you can think about. From foot pain to ingrown toenails to athlete's foot, the information would clue all of us into the causes of common foot complaints, as well as natural ways to help you ease the discomfort and get back on your feet fast. Interestingly enough, you know, we don't really think about how much stress and strain we put on our feet. You know, we have our poor overworked feet. In a single day, well, they absorb about 1,000 pounds of force. And we mistreat them terribly. We stand on them for hours on end. We walk on hard, unyielding surfaces and usually end up cramming them into shoes that may be fashionable, but are often not so comfortable. It's no wonder that 4 out of 5 adults eventually suffer with foot problems. The other thing we have to remember is that we kind of take things for granted. You know, I think we just accept the idea that we're going to get up and walk around the house and get out of bed in the morning and never have any problems with our feet. But I think for a lot of us, when we first start thinking about the amount of stress and strain that we put on our feet, we may be just surprised to find out, you know, what's actually going on the bottom of our feet. Well, let's talk about the human foot. The human foot has 42 muscles, 26 bones, 33 joints, and at least 50 ligaments and tendons made of strong fibrous tissues to keep all those moving parts together, plus 250,000 sweat glands. The foot is an amazing marvel of the human body. It's able to support the weight of our body, and if we look around today, the weight that it's supporting, well, it's a lot more than it was in the past. Today, we are bigger. We are carrying more weight, we have a lot more heaviness on our frame, and all of that on that bottom little surface of our foot is supporting our bodies. I sometimes wonder myself, how are they able to do that? I mean, how can they continue to do it every single day when we don't take the time to either pamper them or, to say the least, even just take care of them? Many people have very dry feet, cracked heels, they have irritated feet, they have soreness, they have arthritis in the joints, there's plantar fasciitis, there's so many different things that we deal with, including things like hammer toes and blisters and bunions and corns and calluses and ingrown toenails and toenail fungus and athlete's foot. You know, and wearing ill-fitting shoes can also cause a major problem. And then, of course, we also have gout that a lot of people deal with as well, having those uric acid crystals building up in our feet and causing severe pain. So where do we start when we want to start getting healthy with the feet? We have to remember that problems of the feet range from very minor to very serious. Swelling, stiffness, pain can usually be treated at home by removing restrictions like, you know, ankle bracelets and using shoes that are too tight and letting your feet breathe a little bit more. Elevating the feet, keeping pressure off the injury, rubbing with the towel after a bath or a shower, taking a break from activities that may cause the symptoms. Even some of the wonderful, you know, activities that we do to keep our body fit can also put a lot of stress and strain on an unhealthy foot. If running or another high-impact sport is causing foot pain, you may have to switch temporarily to a lower-impact exercise program. Over-the-counter pain reducers may help, and underlying diseases, things like diabetes and gout, may cause foot problems such as the pain and the inflammation. So we have to make sure that we are, you know, taking good care of our feet and not ignoring them, because I think what happens is we do ignore many of the problems with our feet, and then we're really surprised when more things come about. Athlete's foot is something that a lot of people deal with, caused by a fungus that likes really warm, dark, and moist environments like the areas between the toes or on the bottoms of the feet. Athlete's foot can inflame the skin and cause a white, scaly rash with a red base. The athlete's foot fungus also causes, you know, if you've had it before, itching, burning, peeling, and even sometimes a slight odor. The infection can also migrate to other body parts. Now, easy ways to avoid athlete's feet is by keeping your feet and toes clean and dry by changing your shoes and socks regularly. Now, it sounds like a common thing, you know, we take a shower, washing our feet, but one of the key components that happens with athlete's foot is we get to be in a hurry and we're drying ourselves off and we put wet feet into our socks. And that is a true way of picking up bacteria and actually causing some of that inflammation, which leads into things like fungus and bacteria. So if you are prone to athlete's foot, sometimes you have to dry your feet even more. And I know people that will actually take a blow dryer. They dry their feet really well because they're prone to athlete's foot. And having that wetness and that damp situation, you're going to ask for more of those cracked areas. And if you've ever had it before when it was inflamed, it is very, very uncomfortable. And many people do have a tendency to, you know, not deal with it very well. And then we end up having to use different kinds of fungus medicines and different kinds of things that are, you know, a little bit more chemical based. But sometimes we don't have any choice because they're hurting so badly. Hammer toes. Well, sometimes it's your second, your third, your fourth toe is crossed, bent in the middle over the toe joint, and sometimes pointing at an odd angle, you may have what's called a hammer toe. Hammer toes are usually caused by people wearing ill-fitting shoes. Easy on, wearing inserts and foot pads can really help to position the toe and reposition it. But down the road, sometimes surgery is something that has to be done. Because hammer toes are bent, sometimes corns and calluses also form on them as well, and they are painful. You know, I know a lot of people that work on their feet every single day, a lot of them wearing shoes that are more stylish than anything else, and they end up having amazing amounts of foot problems. Now, common problems like blisters, you know, that's something that we have to think about. That happens a lot. If your shoes fit well, we usually don't have blisters. Soft pockets of raised skin filled with clear fluid, blisters are often painful and can make walking difficult. It's important not to prod or pick at blisters. Clear them in a good sterilizing way, and a lot of times they'll break and drain on their own. If they do start to drain, make sure you use an antibiotic ointment and use something that can keep it from rubbing anymore. Put a bandage over it until it starts to heal. Usually we get them on the back of the heels, usually right above the bottom of the foot on the back where your back of your heel is rubbing against your shoe, especially when you're wearing new shoes. We get them a lot, and it's not more men than women. I mean, all of us end up having blisters when we wear shoes that are just not fitting very, very well. Have you heard of bunions before? Well, bunion is a crooked big toe joint that sticks out at the base of the toe, forcing the big toe to turn in. Bunions have various causes. It could be a trauma, it could be arthritis, it could be hereditary. A bunion can be painful when confined into a tight shoe. And for many people, shoes that are too narrow in the toe may be the blame for the bunion. Surgery is usually recommended. And of course, a lot of people kind of, you know, use things that are more anti-inflammatory based and things that kind of reduce the inflammation. Some of the other things that happen with our feet, probably more common, things like corns and calluses. They form after repeatedly rubbing against a bony area of the foot or against the shoe. Corns appear on the tops and the sides of your toes as well as between your toes. Calluses form on the bottom of the foot, especially under the heels or the balls and on the sides of the toes. These compressed patches of dead skin cells can be hard and painful. To relieve the pain, you may want to try placing padding around the corns and calluses. Don't try to cut or remove corns and calluses yourself. That's what a podiatrist is for, because sometimes people use devices that are not sterile and they end up having a foot infection along the way. So you have to be very, very careful. I myself suffer with this problem, which is called plantar fasciitis. It's common for doctors to confuse heel spurs and plantar fasciitis when a patient comes to them with heel pain. Heel spurs are found in 70% of patients with plantar fasciitis, but they are two different conditions. Plantar fasciitis is a painful disorder in which the tissue that connects the ball of the foot to the heel, the fascia, becomes inflamed. Heel spurs are pieces of bone that grow at the heel bone base and often develop after you've had plantar fasciitis. The heel spurs themselves are not too painful. It's the inflammation and irritation caused by plantar fasciitis that can hurt. Heel spurs are often seen on x-rays of patients who do not have heel pain or plantar fasciitis. So with me, I found that wearing a raised insert dramatically took care of the problem almost immediately. And stretching, you know, laying in bed before you get up in the morning. This is something that a lot of people have learned. When you're laying flat on your back, sometimes people actually will take a belt or a rope and they'll throw it around the top of their toes when they're laying flat, and you kind of bend your toes back toward your chest, just kind of stretch a little bit. And then doing, you know, on the edge of the stairs where you release your heels and you lift back up again. Oh my goodness, what a dramatic difference to stretch out that calf muscle. Because people that have this, when they get up in the morning, usually after walking for about 5 minutes or more, it starts to relax. But if you've never had it before, it's like walking on pins and needles for the first 5 minutes when you're out of bed, and you will stumble and try to find a more comfortable way to be able to walk, because it's not a comfortable thing. And then you add our weight on top of it, and then we put it into different kinds of shoes that are so ridiculously uncomfortable. We have to make sure that we're doing what we can do, and we got to get a good diagnosis as well. We take our feet for granted, and we need to start really looking at them a little bit in a more positive way. Gout. This is a big one. Gout is a type of arthritis caused by a buildup of uric acid in joint tissues and joint fluid, which happens when the body is unable to keep uric acid levels in check. One of the worst places for buildup to occur is in the big toe. Temperature-wise, the toes are the body's coolest parts, and uric acid crystallizes with temperature changes. You know when a gout attack happens. The toe will get warm and or red and swollen and will be painful to even the slightest touch. The best way to prevent a gout attack is to learn to identify the triggers, including the high purine foods, red meat, seafood, alcohol, and then applying ice, keeping hydrated, and staying in bed may also help. I found that also using, you know, wonderful anti-inflammatories can make a difference. And believe it or not, black cherry juice, extremely effective for helping to reduce uric acid. You can buy that in concentrate form or in liquid form that's already mixed, but it does make a dramatic difference. And many people will use it on a daily basis as a preventive. And of course, you know, we want to make sure that people are aware of turmeric and things like curcumin, which is very effective for pain and inflammation both. So definitely keep both of those in mind. They are dramatically beneficial when you're having problems. Now, not everybody goes in for pedicures, and not everybody really trims their toenails correctly, but ingrown toenails can really cause a lot of pain. The right way to clip your toenails straight across is key to foot health. If you don't cut them properly, the corners and sides of the nail can dig into the skin and become ingrown. Other causes of ingrown toenails include shoe pressure, fungus infections, and even poor foot structure. When you cut your toenails, use larger toenail clippers and avoid cutting the nails too short, as this can cause also ingrown toenails and or infection. So a lot of things to think about with the feet. And I think for many of us, you know, we're not aware of all these different things that are out there. And I think we just, you know, we get up, we throw our, you know, our socks on and our shoes on, and we head out the door. There are a lot of people out there that are very stylish with their shoes. Are they good supportive shoes? Well, not always. You know, many people have to have supportive shoes made later down in life, maybe even orthotics, because they've abused their feet too much. Want to see what's coming up on the show? Like our Facebook page or follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Let us know what your favorite healthy habit is, then listen in. You might just hear it mentioned right here on the show. And let's face it, walking into most health food stores, well, it can boggle the brain. Faced with shelf after shelf of supplements, how do you know what to choose? Better Nutrition can help. Better Nutrition is the healthy shopping magazine packed with useful information on a variety of health topics, as well as deliciously healthy recipes and good-for-you lifestyle tips. Every issue will help you stay up to date on the best products and advice for optimal wellness. Pick up your copy of Better Nutrition magazine at fine health food stores near you today. So when I ask people about the feet and we talk about different kinds of things, I usually will find people that are walking in a very uncomfortable way. And, you know, sometimes it creeps in, like when people are diabetic. You know, even ordinary problems can be a bigger problem when you're diabetic. Neuropathy is one of those things. You know, and although it can hurt, diabetic nerve damage can also lessen your ability to feel pain and heat and cold. You know, loss of feeling often means you may not feel a foot injury. You could have a tack or a stone in your shoe and walk on it without even knowing. You could get a blister and not feel it. And you might not notice a foot injury until the skin breaks down and becomes infected. Nerve damage can also lead to the changes in the shape of your feet and toes. So if you are diabetic, keeping an eye on your feet, checking your feet, you know, frequently for sores or wounds or cuts, because sometimes with the neuropathy, the sensitivity of the feet becomes a problem. Diabetes can also change the skin on your foot. At times, your foot may become very, very dry. The skin may peel and crack. That problem is that the nerves that control the oil and the moisture level in your foot may no longer work. After bathing, dry your feet and seal in remaining moisture with a thin coat of some kind of a jelly or some kind of a very, very moist, unscented hand cream or some kind of a natural foot product. And make sure that you're always drying them first and then sealing in the moisture. But, you know, it is a good idea to check your feet frequently when you have diabetes. And as type 2 older age geriatric diabetes is no longer in a category of its own, and it has trickled down to just plain diabetes at much, much younger ages now, 20s, 30s, 40s, we have to check our feet. I mean, it takes a minute to check, and if you see something, you can usually end up having it taken care of very quickly rather than letting it get out of control. Calluses occur often more and build up faster on the feet of people with diabetes. This is because there's high pressure areas under the foot, and too much callus may mean that you need therapeutic shoes and inserts. Calluses, if not trimmed, get very thick. They break down, turn into ulcers, and open sores. Never try to cut a corner or a callus yourself. It can lead to ulcers and infection. Using a pumice stone every day will help keep calluses under control. It's best to use the pumice stone on wet skin and then put lotion on right after you use it. So very, very beneficial. Foot ulcers often occur on the ball of the foot or the bottom of the big toe. Ulcers on the sides of the foot are usually due to poor-fitting shoes. Remember that even though some ulcers do not hurt, every ulcer should be seen by your healthcare practitioner. You want to make sure that your feet are under control. I've worked with a lot of diabetics before and a lot of people with just very, very poor circulation. And many of them have lost toes and feet because they did not pay attention. So poor circulation itself or the blood flow can make your foot less able to fight infection and to heal. Diabetes causes blood vessels of the foot and the leg to narrow and harden. You can control some of the things that cause poor blood flow. Of course, don't smoke. Smoking makes the arteries harden faster, and allow your healthcare provider to check your feet when you go in for your physical. Diabetes is a rough situation, and amputation and loss of blood flow and circulation are becoming more and more of a common situation, and we don't want that. We want to make sure that we're able to stay as healthy as we can and keep our toes and our feet, and there are things that we can do at home, and I think some of them are easier than you think. Sometimes a way of increasing your circulation is to soak your feet in cold water and then put them in hot water and then back in cold water again, kind of like a hydro massage. Doing this alternatively dilates and constricts the blood vessels in the feet, thereby boosting your circulation. I'm a huge believer in reflexology. Most cities today have places where you can go and have your feet worked on. There is nothing better for breaking up calcium deposits, you know, increasing blood flow up to the calves. They usually will work on the feet and the calves, increasing circulation, you know, and really getting a deep massage. It, It's almost like you're walking on pillows when you get done having your feet worked on. And some people just have never, ever thought about having it done. We walk on our feet every day carrying pressure and on shoes and hard floors and non-giving, non-supportive different kinds of flooring, you know, mostly cement floors. I work with a lot of people that work in areas where they're on these cement floors all day long, walking miles and miles during their shift. And I will tell you that you add in uncomfortable shoes and, you know, for people that don't take care of their feet, it could be dramatically, you know, life-changing when they start taking care of their feet. Most people get home at the end of the day, they kick off their shoes and their feet are sore or tired and we sit down and anything to get those shoes off. But we don't go any further than that. Soaking your feet is wonderful. I think it really makes a dramatic difference. Using a nice pumice stone to take off those dead skin cells and those really dry skin areas. I have people that told me it felt like they were walking on pebbles. The skin was so dry and rough. And coming out of the summer months, most people have been walking barefoot and on cement and their feet have taken the wear and tear. The heels are dry and cracked. These are things that you can fix very quickly with a pumice stone and good oils and lotions. And sometimes, you know, putting a good base of lotion and maybe petroleum jelly on before you go to bed, or, you know, using some of these wonderful natural lotions that are there and natural salves, and then putting on a little sock and wearing it to bed. Your feet can be dramatically different. When your feet feel good and you walk better, you just feel better from top to bottom. Doing wonderful stretches on the back of the calves and making sure that you are getting that proper blood flow can make a dramatic difference. Soaking your feet in things like peppermint oil and eucalyptus oil and rosemary oil, very, very stimulating. And at the same time, making a dramatic difference in how your feet feel. There are amazing natural things today that you can rub on your feet. Arnica lotion, arnica gels when your feet are hurting. There are so many different things that we can do with our feet to make them feel better. And when you think about it, what does it take? Maybe a minute per foot to rub in a good amount of nice lotion or to use a little bit of a pumice stone and make sure that you're trimming your toenails correctly and taking a good look over of your feet to make sure you have no calluses or any sores or open wounds on your feet, and then putting on some nice lotion and then a little white sock or something to wear to bed. Your feet are going to feel so much better the next day. I find that when I stretch my calves and my feet, you know, 10 to 15 times before bedtime, when I wake up in the morning, the plantar fasciitis doesn't hurt. And sometimes when I just fall in bed and get up in the morning, when I walk, it takes me a couple minutes and I can't wait to take a shower and get my feet into a shoe with that support, because that arch support makes a dramatic difference. It lifts that center arch and it takes the pain off your feet when you have plantar fasciitis. I have to move them from shoe to shoe. I wear them in my running shoes, you know, but it's a little bit of a crazy thing. You have to keep moving it. But you know what? They make a dramatic difference. And if you're suffering with feet that hurt, you're going to want to try everything you can. Anybody that has sore feet that are inflamed, I'm a big believer in turmeric. I'm a big believer in making sure that you're using omega-3 fatty acids to lubricate and the anti-inflammatory action. You know, and rubbing natural liniments and natural things like wintergreen oil and spearmint and peppermint oil and rosemary oil and making your own massage oils, going in and getting reflexology done on the bottoms of your feet. It is dramatically different. It is something that you need to do. And why would we want to keep suffering with these problems? I really don't know. There's a really good book I'd like to recommend called Natural Foot Care, Herbal Treatments, Massage and Exercises for Healthy Feet by Stephanie Turles. Really good. And also American Podiatric Medical Association, the APMA.org, talking about podiatry and talking about the foot and giving you information, because we should do a little bit of research. And if you are diabetic, you need to make sure that you're taking even more care of your feet. If you're overweight and carrying a lot of extra weight, make sure you're checking your feet for calluses and bunions and sores and wounds and dry areas. And anybody that I can recommend to go in for reflexology, I got to tell you, there is something amazing about it. The first time I went, I had no idea that my feet could feel so good. You know, if you soak your feet, they massage your feet, they use pressure to break up those little deposit areas, they increase blood flow down your calf to your feet. There is something to it, and I am a huge, huge believer, because I think we don't take the time that we should to take care of our feet. We just, once again, we take it for granted. We rarely look at the bottom of our feet, you know, just like, you know, getting up in the morning and having a body that doesn't need to be exercised or stretched in the morning. You know, you don't have arthritis. You don't have any of those painful areas. You just get bounced out of bed, get ready, run in the shower, eat, and you're on your way. There's a lot of people sitting on the edge of the bed, rubbing their legs, rubbing their knees, trying to get the energy to get up and get moving. We take a lot for granted. And sometimes we don't get focused until there's a problem. But this is something that can make a dramatic difference for you. It's something that can make a huge difference. And I think one of the best ways of doing it is to just pay a little bit more attention to ourselves, give our feet a little bit more respect, and we'll have happy feet, because it is a huge issue. When you look at the bottom of your feet today, you pick up your foot and you look at it and you see the small amount of surface on the bottom of your feet, and then take a look at the rest of your body that it's supporting every single day, and maybe you'll just gain a brand new respect for your feet. I think some of us, well, once again, we just take it for granted. You know, life gets in the way and we forget about things until you start having pain or a problem in an area, and then you want to give it as much focus as you possibly can. I hope you'll take the time to pick up a copy of Better Nutrition Magazine at your fine health food stores everywhere for great information and just wonderful, wonderful recipes and things that we really do need to be focusing on. And I think sometimes we have a tendency to, you know, not know where to turn. But there's plenty of resources out there to give you the best information. So when it comes to your feet, do something good for your feet. Do something good for yourself and start taking better care of your feet. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is Talk Healthy Today Show on Radio MD, brought to you by Europharma. Visit them at europharmausa.com. For more information on this and all of my show segments, remember to go to my radio show page at radiomd.com and look for the Talk Healthy Today Show page, for the on-demand podcast of the show is available at Radio MD. I thank you for listening. Stay well. Is that all right?